wanted, because the Matisyo emailed me about the pshat we said in that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mahafich l'toyiv everything if he's has bitachon. So he pointed out that before Nisiv of Avas Hashem, it is a little more mashma that it actually turns around from the lashon that he says of mehafich over there sounds as if he actually turns it around. But I looked at it again, and even over there, by the context of it, where it says that it's mashma completely after it's over. It's in Nisiv Avas Hashem. I have it over here on Amud Mem Gimel, and it's in the same sefer. It's the same Chelik Beis. He says over here, he does say Mahapach Osa L'Tov, and then he says this is not where he's going to be Meirich. He'll be Meirich about it over here. But the Mashmos is looking at it. It says Kasha Yom Al Adovashner Rav Ubotech Bo Yisbarach Shulatoyv Azit Hashem Yisbarach Oyser Ra LaToyv. Kadosh Baruch Hu will make that Rabbi of Toiv. And then he says over here Lefikach Amar Kiva Kol Adav Rachman Otav Ovid Bipnei Kichol Mishpat V'Din Shabala Odu Mitzara Tov. You know, Mishpat V'Din itself comes from Tov. That's what he says over there. Kasha Bo Dvar Mal Adam Shunira Ra. Also, and so on. So, what he says before is that really everything that's Mishpat Din comes from Tov. So its point of origin is Tov. So then he says that Kashbar is mehapich it. So the language itself is kind of confusing, but I would like to be medayek from the very way it's written, that it's mashma ki'ilu, the primary inyan is an inyan of, it's because it comes from a broader context, a context of Tov, and therefore the person sees it as such, or he can learn that he's mahafich. Again, my feeling is the language is a little more mashma like he says, but I find it untenable, it's difficult, and I do think it fits in the bigger picture. So as you may have it, those are the two possibilities in pshat. Okay, let's go back. We skipped last time, and he goes through all the different stages that happen. So it says, Rebbe Akiva, the beginning of the paragraph from Reish Lamed Beis on the left side, where it says that Rebbe Akiva was going and traveling. He had a chamor, a tanagol, and a candle. So he didn't get accommodated. They came along and ate up the chamor, then the tarnagol, and then the candle blew out. So he says like this: What are these three things? What exactly happened here? Obviously it wasn't just incidental things that weren't good, like at random. There was a seder advar. Kvar amarnu siva ava. Ki elu gimel dvarim him gimel chalke adam shem haguf v'nefesh v'seichel. You have the guf, the nefesh, and the seichel. Those are the three chalke adam. This is constantly. This is the chaluka that the Maral uses all the time. Like we said before, the nefesh corresponds to what we would call a person's drives / emotions, and the seichel corresponds to neshama and seichel. So haguf achomri hu misyaches lechamor. The olav rochev hanefesh, vanefesh mesiach zalatarnegol shnekor gever veish. So he says like this: the chamor is an animal that represents chomer at its, I wouldn't want to say the word at its best, maybe that's worst, or the most chomery of all things. A chamor is an animal that shows very little signs of motion, movement, intelligence, emotions. It's just a thing. And that's why, whereas as a horse has a certain grace and beauty and swiftness, a chamor is basically a cargo train. So that's just kule chomer. It is thing. And that's why chamor and chomer, same words and so on. The tarnagol represents the nefesh. First of all, a pterygoul is called gever, which is sort of the male aggressiveness, pushiness, all of those things that we would associate with that chuna. He also is the one that jumps at the morning. In other words, as soon as the morning, the concept of his orus, awakening, that's something that's very much part of the nefesh adam, in the sense of I am moved to do something, I'm pushed to do something, and that's where the tyrannical is, and that represents the nefesh of the adam. And then he says, and then the candle is going to be connected the seichel, the oyeres tyre, and all of those things. So it says like this. So aguf achomim misachs lachamor v'alarochev ha-nefesh, ha-nefesh misachs l'atarnigol shenke gever v'ish, v'yadua ke-nefesh hu tzura, asha tzura nikra ish k'ma sh'yadua, v'achom nikra isha k'ma sh'yizboi p'omim harvi. V'lekach oma shahoy lo'y chamra v'tarnigolta. V'ashlishi is the ner, shu k'neged ha-seichel, shenke ner, shu meir lo'odom. ובכל מוקרם שקר השכל נר, כמו שאומר בסך תשאבס פרק מהמדליקין, הזוהר בנר הבלוי בונים פעמים החכומים שנקנים את סתור אור. And it's דבר פשוט שהשכל נר מר לא דם ביצור בי או דבר זה. I want to add just a נקודה of progression. You know, it's so much more מסקבל על דס when these things have a certain element of progression to themselves. The hallmark of Chomer is it stays where it is. You put down a big block of bricks, you assume they're not going to walk away the bricks. They stand where they stand. A person who is Chomri will stay where he stays. In as much as Chiyus is associated with Tnua, Achai is called Misno'aya. It's something which moves, changes, is in flux. So Chomer is not. The next Koach, the Koach in a person that begins to push him, to move him, and not just to sit there, is the Nefesh. So that begins to push the person to do something. So you have the chomer of the person is the most inanimate. And we're talking about not only the physical body, but we're talking about the koach that we would call, what the Yeshayahu Tusha calls koach yisod ha'ofer. Any of the type of midos in a person of sheval taisa, laziness, depression, apathy, all of them are rooted in this, in the sense of chomer in a person, and that's what the person is. So that's the lowest dog of a person. That's close to misa. The next step is drives, and even if the drive is for something not good or not particularly ruchni, it's already a step better than the person who's apathetic. There's a vert from the Baal Shem Tov, which I always say I'm surprised that they hadn't burned the books yet on account of it, but it's a really, really, a very true word. It goes on the pasuk Isha sheyedven libo, equally true meiser sorel Isha sheyedven libo. So he says a mashal. There was a king that had a son who, as too many king's children go, he was not terribly mutzlach and didn't terribly care for very many things. You know, he had the good life and that was it. So he hired a pedagogue to teach him and to sort of try to bring out the best out of him, to try to get something out of him. So one day the pedagogue comes to the teacher, the pedagogue comes to the king, and he's at his wit's end, and he tells the king, you know, the problem just got confounded. Not only does your kid not apathetic to the studies, he's now found a girl that he's chasing after. So the king said, well, I said, that's good news. Because now that he actually started chasing something, we can harness that and get it to do something. So you know, you'll make a deal with him. He doesn't, you know, he can't go out on a date until he hasn't done this, hasn't done this. You know, once we have a koach hatnua, we can actually harness it and make something out of it. Because apathy, total apathy, is mavis. There's nothing there to be done. And when you have tenua, the question is which direction. I remember once, this is going back to high school yet, it was in a physics class, they posed a riddle. You're in a sailboat, and there are one or two situations you can face. No wind whatsoever, or a wind going in the opposite direction that you want to go to. Which is better? And the answer, obviously, is the one going in the opposite direction. Because in sailing, you have something called tacking, which is you can put the sail at an angle, and therefore the wind blows the ship at an angle. So instead of blowing you back to where you were, it can blow out, albeit at a lower speed, in a sort of an angular motion, and then you reverse the sail and go in the other direction further. But as long as there's a wind blowing, you can harness it, do something with it. When a wind is not blowing, there's you ain't going no place. Nothing's happening. That is the problem of something which is has no no tenua. But when you're moving, you are functioning only in the area that you're occupying between your starting point and end point. You cannot function vis-a-vis what's beyond you if you're blind. That's one issue. And the second issue is you don't have a motivation to go anyplace if you don't see anything in front of you. So whereas the chiyus that's generated by tenua is limited to the area that you actually occupy before and after, the chiyus that the light gives you is global, in the sense that you can issue commands, send shlichim, make your way to some. In other words, your scope of activities is much greater. And it also is, at the end of the day, that which triggers activity. So there's a certain progression, not just three things stuck together at random. But when we think of things between inanimate and stationary, to animate and all over, that's the progression from Chomer, Tzura, and Ar. Okay. So the Maral says here is that there is a musik of a gzeira from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and just like gzeiras are blind in a certain way, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not mafchin between tzaddik and tov when there's a gzeira klalis. So in those types, just like when you mechuyev to kill an ir nedachas, that's the halacha. Just like by Mitzrayim, you know, the mashkes wasn't mafchin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there are certain gzeiras that by the nature of it, it's klolius. And therefore, at the tzaddik is included in it, even though the actual execution of it, he's not part of. Let's give an example. Imagine there was a gzeira from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to chas v'sholem kill out a city. That was a gzeira of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let's say a person wasn't in that gzeira, and somebody came, the Nazi came, whoever it was, and he machine gunned everybody down. And this person happened also to have a machine gun, but the bullet missed his heart, and he was greatly wounded, but he managed afterwards to struggle out and was saved. compare that to a case where the person comes in with shingon and says, okay, you out of here, you deserve to live. There's a world of difference in terms of the shinui of hanhaga between those two. In the first case, where he was shot at and wounded and just managed to escape, we declared that he didn't escape the Gzeira and its Kalolius, but even in the Kalolius of Gzeira, that a town be shut down, Chas v'Shalom, a person can escape. There's room to escape over there, and people can survive. Whereas if the Gzeira is in Kalolius in a way, where if you make the person a total exception, there is something that is the size of the nace, the quality of the nace is greater, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not inclined for such nisim. When there's a gzera, and that's the way it works. So he says like this. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu included him the gzera.
Sorry, Rabbi?
Yes.
Right. How did Avraham Avinu know that the gzera on Stoim was shayach to us for the tzaddikim?
What do you mean? I'm not sure. I'm not following.
Why wasn't it Kalius? And then he had no. There's no piskamper.
Exactly. It seems from the way Avram was being mispalo that he felt the city should be saved on account. In other words, the gzeru is not appropriate. He didn't ask get the tzaddikim out. He basically was saying a city that has a minion of tzaddikim has some elements of good in its structure. You can't say that it's a city devoid of hope. If you have yechidim, so that means the city as a city is a terrible place, and there's yechidim that are unique. But if you have at least a minion, means as a tzibur it has hope. And so he was mispalo on the city on account of that mini tzibur of Tov that would be there. That's the way he was being spotted.
It's just a question. Rabbi Akiva himself.
Yes.
He in some way must have been. It wasn't the mikra that he got his there. On some level, on some something or other, he was mitchayev to be there.
I would guess. I don't know. We don't have any indication of what that city was, where it came from, this nath. But just like Lahavdol, in a sense, Loit by coming into the city was Mishayev Kalaya, because he's part of that. We find in the Gemara Reb Yossi went to Churba, so at the Makom Churba, it's Makom Sakani was Chayev Kalaya. There was something about this city that becoming, because he wanted to go, he intended to go and be part of it. Even if he's just staying over, that makes him sort of part of the city at some dark. If the city was so bad, I assume Rav Akiva should have not even wanted to go there. I don't know if it's Shogun or Mesa. We don't have any other facts to go by. But the idea was, wherever a person associates himself with, he belongs somewhat to them. Like Locust.
But again, it's not necessarily his free choice. He was like obviously walking around. He was obviously
correct.
One doesn't know necessarily. Like
but that. On some darga, the fact that he went around and asked to be put up over there, it means that he felt okay being part of that. For somebody that madrega, wherever you go. It's like Yaakov Avinu said, he asked, "Bekolam Altechas Kvodi, don't mention me as part of Korach." If Rav Akiva saw fit to spend the night there, it means that he's somewhat shy. The Gemara says that a Talmud Chacham is not a Mesav to a Suda unless he knows who the other participants are. By association, you're declaring there's something common. I don't think if a person was traveling, and he would pass by some monastery, some very intensely religious monastery, I think we would feel highly uncomfortable going in and asking to stay overnight, and we might choose to sort of lechatchila stay outside. But if he felt comfortable enough to spend the night there and be associated to some darga, and this was a town that was lechuyev kloya for some reason. So, again, I have all the details, but just these are the facts that the Gemara gives us. He wanted to spend some time, and this town was imminently on the cusp of Gzeira, so that means there was some sort of Nekuda that was willing to associate with that wasn't Tov. So he needed to be the Hainashiya Nishpa Kemoicha Nishpa Shariya. So if they would have actually caught him, it would have been part of Gzeira. And that Gzeira would have had three implications. Vashem Zorotzasa Zorakiva Savav de Loya Vile Yoshpiza. I want to add something out of Akiva. When he was in the city, there was chalon that gzeira. It would have been chalon him also. It leaves some roishim. So you had all these things take its place. Now, the first thing he's saying here is the concept of tumura means that to some degree midas hadin has been satisfied. Yes, you know, his seichel went, this went, so kind of midas hadin has been satisfied, and he suffered, like we said before, at least the bullet grazed him, so he's sort of shaykh to it. I'd like to say it's interesting in Rebbe Akiva, in his own life he had three stages where he was, I guess, went along these lines. When Rebbe Akiva was a Royat Soin, so Rebbe Akiva was so, I don't like words, such an Amaretz that he said Anashchena Kichamor, bring me Talmud Chacham and I will I'll kill him like a chamor. In other words, he saw himself as a chamor. That's one thing. Secondly, he compared himself to a stone. In the sense that it says like water made a hole in the stone. So to him, that's sort of that I would say is that's a remiss that the first part of his life before he was learned at all, he was a completely like Homer totally. Secondly, his push to go learn was extraordinary in the sense that he was a it says he went to learn. In other words, that was the drive, and in his final part he enlightened the world. The world the Torah of Rebbe Akiva is the aura of the world, and Rav Shimon Yochai says that his Torah is the trumas of Rebbe Akiva's midas. In other words, he progressed from something that was called a stone, which is as chayim as you can get, background to something which was the it went the whole gamut of drive and push all the way into Lara. But the concept he says here is at the root where he says that they took these three things. He says himself, the whole musig of kaparis, where you're doing something, and this catharsis, we have it, and there is the many times you find that this is tomorrow's this is tomorrow's that. You find it in many places. Whether to take out the chatoyim to the yam, or when somebody's nifta and it's all the minig is you break a cheres, and that's ki'ilu the sar lazozel. The musig is that a slight, if something else represents you, it's sort of you, then the gzera has been disguised to some degree. Like the muscle we gave, the difference between being totally out of the gzera to being in the gzera, but having some sort of light form of it. So the tumura of a person is somewhat it's somewhat him. And that's, and he says of it, "Umizir raya gemur na gemara likach tarnigol lichapor al nafshe b'Yom Kippur bedav zeidua." And that's why we make kaparas. That's the musik of kaparas with a tarnigol. It's interesting for another reason. So first of all, it's a marker. It gives a certain havana of the tarnigol. The bizman beis hamikdash, the soyer hamishtaleach, was our kapara. Today we don't have a tarnigol as some sort of representative of it. The both the soyer and the tarnigol have a tchuna. Let's look at the person's kochus anefesh. In the world of seichel, what do you call seichel? What we would call neshama? There's no chet. Wherever there's or means there's no chet, and by definition, person is never chet. There's neshama. Neshama. What he does is he distances himself from his neshama, he disconnects his neshama. The guf itself, mitzat atzmoi, is not a bar avera because it has no yetzer. There's a musig in halacha in meshamish with aver mace. If a person meshamish with aver mace, it doesn't have a din of arayis. It's nothing because if it's on the shloike derech hanaosai. Anything that's devoid of inciting a person's drives doesn't have the chumra of the avera. So if somebody ate something and it's not tasty, it's not terribly edible, it's not, doesn't have the yisur. The makom of avera lies specifically in a person's koach of sheifos, ritzonos, chukas, taivas. That middle chelik over here that we're talking about, that chelik of something between the drives of a person, is where avera is. Chazal said, the lezosh of Chazal is sor shebe isa makif. It talks about the yetzahara and calls it sor. Sor is the active agent that causes flux, movement, change in dough. Dough is also kind of chalas ha'aretz. It's kind of just dough is a piece of dough. It's chomer, and it's bulk. And anybody who's eaten matzah knows exactly what bulk is. When you put in yeast into it, it ferments. There's bubbling, there's action, and that's the chelik. The real chelik of ra is that. That's soy lazozos also. A goat is an animal, as opposed to a sheep, which tends to be very docile. A goat is full of energy and kind of, it's a lot more, it's graceful, it has motion, it gets into trouble, a goat is very much represents that. So if we're looking for things to represent the chelik ha'adam most associated with avera, it's that middle chelik represented by the tarnigol, and this is where we have a marker for it.
And it's
like all minhagim. I mean, kapara is very fascinating. I mean, Shavaruch says it's a bad minhag. It's a minhag amaroi and so on. And others say it's a great minhag. But the minhag certainly has in itself content. it's not idle. Kali Tzolz'in and Hagim are not just kind of, you know, idle and Minhagim. Kali Tzolz'in and Hagim have Shrashim, the Koros, and you can have a machlokus as to whether or not we should do the Minhag, but b'yisoydei, b'shrashay, those Minhagim are all have great depth in themselves. That's the metzias of it. So he says the mizeh ray migmur nagmur likach tarnigol kapar nasha v'kiva dov zedu. Well, if you come kiva koma rachon tav kloima ki uboteach b'Hashem ki mashe nasa lo letav avit u machmas bitchono bo yisporach nasa dov letoiva v'dov v'shenevra. This is what we spoke about last time, and again, I admit the lashon is mashma like he said, that it means HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes it into Tov. But if you look into the content of it, it's certain that's not, nothing changed afterwards. I mean, it came, you know, when the lion came and ate up this, it's only Nefach LeTov because he was Nimlot from the Gzeira of the town. So, what are we going to say? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu was gazed on the town afterwards in order it should be good for Akiva? It doesn't make any sense. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have continued and because of the Tarnagol was eaten up, something good would have come out for him, I would say pshat like that. But what happened here was, all that happened was that it was saved from being included in the town, so, and that seemed to have been Nigzer before. It's impossible to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu killed out the town so that they can feel good about losing his or and his chamor and his tarnagol. So Bal Korchoch, you have to say that's what it means. Today I heard a story from someone. I have a guest by me. He's a rebbe from Eretz Yisrael. He comes here once every other year or so. Collects. He's a chasher person, Talmud Chacham, and he's a tzaddik. He's a very nice chasher person, and he was telling us a little bit the last year, he had an operation, he was very not well, and the operation itself seemed to be okay, but they messed up his anesthesia, something got messed up, and he lost all feelings in the leg on the, when he woke up, one of the legs, he had no sensation. And whatever they tried didn't work, and they basically wrote down on his report that he needs to be especially careful about falling, because he doesn't have sensation in the leg, and he's basically dragging a leg, and it's especially dangerous to fall, and he needs to take all precautions about falling, and so on and so forth. A few months later, he fell, and he broke his foot. And he had a special cast. He was laying for a few weeks in the cast. When they took off the cast, he got back his feeling in his foot. Where he felt that his tzaras had been compounded, something good actually came out. I don't know the explanation for it. I don't know. But I mean, he's sitting by me. You know, he's here. It's like it's someone that he told me, that was an incredible event. Okay, any questions, anything? Because the next piece is a longer piece. I don't want to start it now. Okay, so good Shabbos.
Shabbos, Shabbat.
Okay.
And, Rabbi Elazar, thanks for this forum, everything.
Okay, Besedigomar. Take care.
Okay. Bye.